Hey everybody, welcome back to Moscow and welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shea Bowes. The weather is good. Spring is upon us. Even Augie has decided to turn up today to work with a smile on his face. Something wrong there. And where else could we start but good old Europe, the old EU. The baton has been handed from Washington to Brussels. The Russophobe Olympics, a gold medalist, Kaja Kallas, yes. The woman from that sort of dynamo, the centre of intellect and European brilliance, which is, of course, Estonia. I think there's more people turned up for my grandmother's 60th birthday than live in the country. She was actually given the job as Europe's top diplomat. Yeah, she probably can't even spell the word, because it was time to give Estonia a job at something. So they gave it to the Planet of the Apes impressionist Kallas. So she's been making some ripples and ruffling some feathers. And there's been a bit of kickback in the EU about Mrs. Kallas, who's an exquisitely dim halfwit. Let's have a look at just how dumb she is, and even the dogs in the street know it, and the German MEPs certainly do. Run the video, Augie.
Warum, Frau Kallas, sollte ich mit Ihnen über Kuba sprechen? Ich habe gerade Ihre Autobiografie gelesen. 432
Oh my God, this is so
Seiten.
Good.
In Estland,
look at her face, look.
Preis reduziert auf 3,99 €, Hardcover.
Who's he talking about?
Gar nicht erhältlich. Sie haben von Kuba, Europa und der Welt ebenso wenig Ahnung.
Look at her face, look.
Wie von Diplomatie, Hirnchirurgie. Größeren Erkenntnisgewinn verspreche ich mir von einem Gespräch mit meinem Hamster über schwarze Löcher in
It's just so good. It's so good. But she is exquisitely stupid. She's got to be the most dumb woman in the European Union. Mrs. von der Leyen, hold on. But, you know, stop the presses. Why are the Euro-Nazis in Fourth Reich HQ giving out about Pearl Kaja? You know, she was brought up in the Soviet Union. She suffered terrible privations, right? She had a terrible time of it, right, Augie, growing up in Estonia, her father being the most senior Soviet official in the country, living in a really nice apartment, making a few quid, and then making some money after the Russians intervened in Ukraine in 2022. Augie, right? Her husband was making tons of money, you know, selling stuff to the Russians, but you know, just keep that to yourself. But why are they giving out about poor old Kaja? You know, she's a nice, good-looking girl, doing her best to hate Russia. You know, it's about the only good thing she does, as far as the EU is concerned, is actually hate Russia. And when your only decent performance is hating Russia, it ends up sort of, you get to the bottom of the barrel pretty quickly, right? Right, Augie?
Isn't there someone else who really hates Russia too?
Oh, yeah. Well, that would be Macrolian. Yes, or Microlian, as some of you guys have suggested in the comments when you're watching the show. Now, old Microlian came up against the old silver fox of international affairs. Good old Mr. Erdogan, yeah. Recep Tayyip Erdogan, a very, very sort of experienced statesman, right? Whether you love him, whether you hate him, he's a man that likes to keep a horse on each pony. He's friends with everybody. Maybe he's got a little knife in the drawer for everybody too, you know, but you got to respect him. And when he came up against this sort of creepy French fried saccharine Macrolian, he decided to put on a little show to demonstrate that he doesn't like little Macrolian's creepy little fingers all over him by grabbing one of those fish fingers, right? So when you're talking about a man who's really sort of anti-Russian, it's got to be Macrolian. But then when it comes to actually facing the Russians, you know, those French tanks, the ones with only one gear, reverse. Yeah. Let's have a look. This is a cracker. Run a luggy. Yeah. So Macrolian puts the second hand on Mr. Touchy Feely.
There he is, trapped.
Yeah, French fried. And look. Oh, what's this? look at Erdogan's face. Check it out. Erdogan's face is just classic. He's just sitting it out. Look. I got you by the finger, bro. Basically, he had him by the nuts. And good old Microlian. I'm going to call him Microlian now. I prefer it to Macrolian. Microlian, you know, is a man, he's all about peace, right? And France is a country all about peace, okay? They didn't have a huge empire which, you know, fed into slavery. They didn't control the Sahel in Africa with their French franc there, crippling people, stopping the economy from flourishing. Somebody just recently threw them out of the Sahel, right, Augie? I think our friends up the road may have something to say about that. Mm-hmm. Wagner! But meanwhile, in the north of Europe, up around Austria, Germany. And who are the Austrians, Augie? Are they just the Uber Germans?
I think they're very talented people, especially in the arts, in the fine arts. Yeah.
Where was Uncle Adolf from? Was he German?
Nein.
Where was he from?
Austria. Österreich.
Österreich, as they call it. Of course, Uncle Adolf was an Austrian, an Uber German, as they call it. And the Uber Germans and the Fourth Reich at the moment, as we now call Mein Führer, Mein Liebling, Mrs. von der Leyen, the head of the Fourth Reich, they are very, very prickly about one particular allegation. Do not call us Nazis, right, Augie?
Absolutely correct. Why would you even call them Nazis? You know, they hate a certain ethnicity of people, that's the Russians.
Yeah.
They clamp down on free press.
Check.
They don't let free journalists to come into their countries, you know.
Check.
They plan to take money from Social Security to invest it into weapons.
Check.
I would even call this guns instead of butter policy.
Correct. And one more, they also seize the assets of this hated ethnic minority. Just like other people did, you know? They've nicked a couple of hundred billion worth of Russian assets, right? Just like our friends did with Jewish industrialists in 1930 Germany. Yeah, nothing to see here. Anyway, in the European Parliament, there was a little meeting. And in that meeting, one of our Österreich friends, one of our Uber German friends, got very animated about the fact that we are not like the Nazis. Whatever you say about us, we can deport journalists, we can ban them from their own country. Alina Lipp and Thomas Rope, sanction and ban from even going into their own country for what? For disagreeing. Let's have a listen to the Uber Germans arguing like Nazis that they're just not Nazis. Run the video, Augie.
Европейския съюз, както обществените, така и частните, са в отвратително състояние. Министърът на пропагандата на Третия Райх, Йозеф Гьобелс, би се гордял с такива медии.
I cannot accept that someone... I see a lot of problems in Europe, a lot of problems with the media. But to compare it with Nazi, with Goebbels, I do not accept. Yeah. And I really think...
Maybe you would like to impose censorship, mister. Censorship.
You shut up.
Shut up. You shut up.
I think you are talking
we are not Nazis. You are. Shut up.
Nazi lover, you are.
Shut your mouth immediately or you will be deported.
Shut up.
You are an executioner of freedom of speech with your talk.
I don't know about Bulgaria, but according...
I don't know about Bulgaria. We have only invaded it twice. Maybe we'll do it Austrian three times, such a mouse.
If you say that in Austria you are in big trouble in your front, you are in front of a court because you cannot compare what
yeah.
we have
well,
here
is clear. We are not Nazis. We are
with
absolute
the history of Europe, which is the Nazi time and which is Goebbels. And I will not accept it.
And of course, we're not actually criticizing the European Union, because if you do that, you are actually called a Nazi. If you actually suggest that the people of Europe, the people who pay the taxes, the people who have lived there for thousands of years, should be maybe made a priority before we go trying to solve the ills and the worries of the world. If you say that they are maybe should be slightly important, you are a Nazi. So we're not Nazis here, right, Augie? We're anti-Nazis. We're actually completely anti-fascists. So we think the European Union is a great idea, but just doesn't work. Economic union, yes. Political union, absolutely not. Let's have a look at good old Ireland, my old stomping ground. Beautiful country, full of lovely people, a great environment. You know, one of the greatest places on earth. Just ask any American tourist who hasn't been robbed in the Temple Bar area, or anybody who actually can afford to buy a home, see a doctor, or actually live in the country now. Some of our new Irish, some of our latest visitors, who we seem very eager to offer 100,000 welcomes to in the form of free housing, healthcare, just like our 200,000 Ukrainian friends who bring their cars over from Ukraine to get them fixed because things are so tough in Kiev, right? There's only about 4,000 hotel rooms available tonight in Kiev on Airbnb. Let's have a look at one of our African friends who's made his way to the nearest European country to his African homeland. Obviously, he hasn't travelled across the whole continent to Europe, right, Augie? And then out onto a f***ing island in the middle of the Atlantic to take refuge, right? Because Ireland is, of course... No, it's not, is it? Anyway, run the video, Augie. So, in typical Irish fashion, he's using the beer keg. So a naked African dude in a car park in Dublin decides to... commit a cultural act of a tribal dance, maybe, is it, with the empty beer keg?
I mean, we're talking about Ireland. I'd say this is a cultural act of assimilation.
I think it is. I think this is a completely normal and rational act of unity with the Irish, using a beer keg to smash something up. It's very close to our hearts. Now, make sure you don't confuse us with somebody who is, not laying out the blame proportionately. Now, the Irish, of course, and the Italians, maybe the English and the Scots, we kind of built America. We did, yeah. Well, check it out. Google it. And it seems that we brought some of our cultural expertise societal cohesion, just like the black Irish dude smashing up a car in a car park. Maybe some of the Irish aptitude for self-destruction also seeped into American society. Run the video, Augie. It's like the end of days, isn't it? It is like something from the zombie apocalypse.
Like, at least you got a woman.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, you can't even get a woman and you don't even need to take your top off. So while the zombie apocalypse unfolds in the United States and to some degree in Ireland, it's important to know that the political elites, the people who are actually elected, who actually elects them, Augie? I'm not actually sure. People like this, the guy we're about to have a look at in the video, who actually decides that these people are, apt representatives of the ordinary American worker? It's beyond real. These guys seem absolutely obsessed with the idea of war and conflict and funding that war and conflict, creating fear, creating the idea that people who live literally thousands and thousands of kilometers away, who have no impact on the everyday life of Americans, are to blame for everyday problems in America. Just like this dude on the street bending himself into a knot with his shirt off. It's very tragic. That guy is somebody's kid, remember? This is a human story. And this is also a human story of how political elites like this dude get elected. By who? By the parents, by the societies, and by the people who live on the streets with Mr. Zombie. Yeah, it's a kind of a show. Run the video, Augie.
Vladimir Putin. Is he a war criminal?
Well, I think you can look at instances that have happened there and certainly characterize them as war crimes, but our intent is to end the war.
Is he a war criminal?
We can't end the war without talking to Mr. Putin.
Is he a war criminal? Like, is it Marco Rubio
qualified
to decide that, even if he was, of course, which he's not.
But what? Look at this dude. He's getting he's a war criminal.
The answer, go ahead.
No, it's not a simple answer.
You are equivocating, sir. Just answer the question.
I'm answering your question, and the answer is that war crimes have been committed, no doubt. And who is responsible for that? There will be time and place for that accountability. But right now, the job is to end the war.
So you won't answer the question.
We don't end the war. People are going to get killed.
Reclaiming my time, sir. Let me go on.
Oh, what a pompous asshole. Why not ask some questions about the reality of what's going on in your own backyard, you stupid looking ladder in a jacket? What a jerk.
I like that even neocon Marco Rubio is trying to explain to this person that we are trying to have negotiations with Russia. Can we call names some other time? Oh. And the guy is just getting mad over this.
Yeah, yeah. Because all they've got is conflict. Remember, all they've got is fear and creating the conditions whereby you deflect from what's really happened on the street. Yeah, it's the oldest trick in the book. And meanwhile, in America, in the same place where this half-wit in a suit is trying to create fear about people who are thousands of miles away, who have nothing to do with the show that's happening on the streets, drug abuse, suicide, fentanyl, immigration, you know what the problems are, right? And there's another problem. Augie and I were just discussing, how would we transition between that half-wit senator grilling Rubio for seeking peace? Let's see, how are we going to transition to this next piece, Augie? You got any transitioning ideas, Augie?
For the purpose of Moscow Mules, we have to do it.
Okay, let's transition to this next clip, right? So this is the same country that's trying to blame China, Russia, Iran, anybody on the show that American society has become. It's nothing to do with the politicians who are looking for wars everywhere. I mean, the United States has been at war for like 70% of its existence. What's it brought ordinary Americans? Debt, drug abuse, immigration, show society, right? But in the same show society, A dude that would scare the shit out of your kid at a birthday party. Yeah, dressed up as a mountain ranger in Yosemite Park. Yogi Bear used to go around Yosemite scaring the shit out of the tourists. Nowadays, it's a dude in a dress that looks like something out of V for Vendetta. It's absolutely terrifying. Run the video, Yogi.
Some carry hate. We carry the largest trans pride flag to ever be flown in a national park.
Why?
And unfurled it on the side of El Cap.
Why?
To prove a point.
Yogi, I want to know why, and I want to know now.
Natural.
You know what I think?
No, just like Rubio. Stop. I want to know why they allowed to do this, man.
Because I think there's 1,000 NGOs making money on this.
I mean, this is nightmare on the Tranny Street. Forget Nightmare on Elm Street. This is just wrong on so many levels. Oh, my God. And staying in the old US of A, what else happened this week? Augie, I think in the Oval Office, better known now as the Spanking Room, we saw Cyril Ramaphosa, the president of African powerhouse South Africa, visiting. It all went a bit Pete Tong. It was all a bit theatrical. But hey, but at least there's one thing that unites the two presidents, even after the spanking in the Spanking Room. And of course, what could it be? What is the one thing that everybody on earth who isn't either demented, stoned, or utterly retarded can agree on? Is the fact that the narco Fuhrer, the little green goblin, the Bankova bandit, is an absolute clown. And it seems that President Trump and President Ramaphosa at least agree on something, that Zelensky is a half-wit. Run the video, Augie.
I fully support it for us because we would like to see the end of that war.
Sure, I called Zelensky and they
said, get Ramaphosa's face.
He's in South Africa. I said, what the hell is he doing in South Africa?
He was talking to us.
That's that's got to be the classic clip of the week, right?
He said, what are you doing in South Africa?
Yeah,
that's a strange one.
Can you imagine the narco Fuhrer actually watching that? I mean, how demeaning could it be? Like, they're laughing at me in the office.
I think we should expect another assassination attempt by another Ukrainian half-wit.
Yeah. I again ask you, where will you start World War III for me? I'm running out of the monies. So as Mr. Ramaphosa and Mr. Trump have a good old laugh at the narco Fuhrer, what's the narco Fuhrer up to? Well, you know, the Europeans have told us that Ukraine is the center of European freedom, democracy, and liberty, right, Augie?
So much liberty.
Yeah, there's so much democracy and liberty in Ukraine that when you get elected for a five-year term, you get to stay there for 7 years. You get to stay there as long as you like, right, Augie? Actually, there's so much democracy and freedom in Ukraine right now, you don't even need to have a election, right? Because we're so democratic, right? We're so democratic that we know nobody will actually leave the country. That's why we surround the borders with barbed wire. That's why we know so many people want to join our army that we drag them all off the street, beat the crap out of them, put them in hospital, put them in comas. Yeah, it's such a democratic sort of hotbed. You don't even need elections, right? Like, election, shmelection, erection. That's what I say.
Just give money.
Run the video.
Пропросить это точно не про Украину. Украина новая страна, сильная, ни у кого
ничего не просит.
Сами можем кому-то помочь.
Дайте зброю. Так дайте нам все гроши. Дайте нам больше снарядов.
Дайте нам вашу зброю.
Дайте нам больше 16.
И дайте нам зброю.
Дайте нам лицензии.
Дайте нам кредиты. Дешевые кредиты. Такие безумовные кредиты, какие в ваших державах.
На сегодня нам потребны гроши.
Дайте нам.
Дайте нам.
Дайте нам.
Дайте нам. Дайте нам. Дайте
нам. Nice guy, isn't he? Yeah. You really want your daughter to bring him home. I'd like you to meet Vladimir. What the?
I think we should call Ukraine a givocracy now.
A givocracy. Yeah. Yeah. A narcocracy. Narcocracy? So, leaving Ukraine, you'd be forgiven for thinking these days that there was only one war, one game in town, let's say, if you can call it a game, a tragic game. But there's another war, a war, Augie, if I'm not mistaken, that's cost the lives of many multiples of civilians than the war in Ukraine has done. Gaza. What a horrendous conflict. A lot of people suffering there. People suffering also on the Israeli side, of course. Some civilians shot on the street in New York this week. All tragic, all a needless waste of life. We really hope for peace here, a just peace. But what's happening in Gaza is fueled, of course, by the elites. Let's not deny it. And that involves Israeli politicians and American politicians, basically calling for the execution and the killing of more civilians. How they think that this is going to bring peace or settlement to a country like Palestine is beyond me. Take it from me, I'm an Irishman. The more you kick, the more the dog bites back. Lesson from history. Run the video, Oggy.
כל ילד, כל תינוק בעזה הוא אויב.
Unbelievable.
האויב הוא לא החמאס, והוא גם לא הזרוע הצבאית של החמאס, כמו שהפצרית שלנו מספרת לנו שאסור לנו לפגוע בחמאס, אלא אם כן הוא חלק מהזרוע הצבאית. כל ילד בעזה הוא האויב. אנחנו צריכים לכבוש את עזה וליישבה, ושלא יישאר שם ילד עזתי אחד.
Imagine the American president saying, imagine the French president, imagine anybody saying actually, except an Israeli politician. Israelis seem to be able to get away with this, right?
Well, you know, there's an American politician who has been suggesting to nuke Gaza as a way to solve the conflict.
Like, I mean, who would ever drop a nuclear weapon on a civilian population, Augie? Oh, yeah. Let me think. Okay, run the video, Augie.
Right now that the White House is hoping both Israel and Hamas will sign on to.
I've got a brilliant
does
idea.
Does this shooting change anything when it comes to
anyone
the
got any ideas for peace in Gaza?
Or the negotiations to
okay,
end
you
it?
Down the back.
Well,
drop a nuke.
Yeah,
anyway, moving
the
on.
The only end of the conflict is ridiculous. Complete and total surrender by those who support Muslim terror. In World War II, we did not negotiate a surrender with the Nazis. We did not negotiate a surrender with the Japanese. We nuked the Japanese twice in order to get unconditional surrender. That needs to be the
same
here.
So the Imperial Japanese Navy, who attacked Pearl Harbor and basically accounted for the biggest combat losses against the Americans, are equated to a bunch of 4-year-old Palestinian kids hiding in a tent, you halfwit. I mean, does that cover it, Augie? Anyway, now, we would love to get behind the pro-Palestinian protest if it was kind of led by people who weren't 7 foot tall, slightly overweight by about 400 kilos, in a dress, a pair of high heels, and had a beard. Just the kind of people we love here in the Moscow Mules. I mean, oh, me. Run the video.
I stand before you all as a proud Kashmiri trans Muslim woman. I'm disabled and this state I mean, hates that. This state has banned trans and disabled people to
like,
create a smoke screen.
Like, when I was a kid growing up, if you saw a dude like that in your garden, you either shot him or you called the police. But with all this talk of war, Augie, right, I mean, there may be hope. We've recently had Elon Musk, you know, he's a very smart man, despite his autistic stare at the South African president. He's a very intelligent guy. He's going to bring us to Mars. And he's also announced that he's going to create millions of androids, humanoid robots, right, to do the stuff that we don't want to do. He's also talking about a crisis in human reproduction. At the same time, he's going to build millions of robots. I don't know, Augie. What do you reckon?
Well, my only question is, can these androids replace me in this show?
No, no, absolutely not. If they could, we'd have already done it, you useless bugs. Anyway, but speaking about that, there's got to be a hope. Hope for the future that maybe war will be turn into a mechanized warfare, completely mechanized, that nobody will actually die. We all just get into a couple of rooms and we send out our robots and then they smash the shit out of each other and nobody actually gets hurt. Imagine that. What a future. Run the video, Augie. So here we got
Robot one. And gets droned by another robot.
This is Ukraine, right?
It's real time.
This is real time. This is happening right now. The drones are, the machines are killing each other. The rise of the machines. They're controlled by humans, but no humans are getting hurt. It could be a thing, right?
I would root for this kind of war any time of day.
Yeah. So that brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Moscow Mules. We've enjoyed making it. We hope you've enjoyed watching. I suppose the theme today is hope, you know. There's always hope. Old Cyril Ramaphosa and the Big Don, they managed to have a giggle at the expense of Zelensky. You know, who doesn't? There's always hope that the next big war will be fought by the machines and no one will get hurt. We'll all come out and have a beer and a sandwich, slap each other on the back and say, you know, I didn't hate you that much after all. Hey, Kaja? Who knows? Maybe. We live in hope. And we live in hope that you'll join us again next week, same time, same place, where Augie and I are going to string together a narrative of the show and maybe get you to giggle a little bit as we glide towards Armageddon. Maybe, never know. We'll see you then. Хорошо?